At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. Rockets lose last night, 125-124, two overtimes. Good basketball game, a lot of fun. It was a lot of back and forth. Rockets led for most of the game until towards the end, but then it was back and forth in the two overtimes. A lot of fun. What did you learn last night? Both of you, you guys watching the game, what did you learn last night in one sentence?
The Rockets will have to make an addition to handle the ball and bring the ball up court at some point this year.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. Dell, what did you take out of last night?
It's on along the same lines as Lance. I learned that the double big lineup may not just be about your advantage. It may be just out of necessity.
Yeah, because you don't have anybody.
I don't think they want Reed on the court that much.
I was surprised Aaron Holiday didn't get in there at some point.
Oh, Reed may look. This is a really bad. It's one game, blah, blah, blah. I get all that. But
I learned.
You know, just being purely evaluating the situation. No,
it's bad. And what 22 turnovers. 22 turnovers.
Yeah. I was worried about this the entire time, is bringing the ball up and getting into the office. Now, you faced about as. It's about as tough a. Tough a look as you're going to find as Oklahoma City defense.
And that was, that said, no Jalen Williams.
Yeah. I mean, but from a defensive standpoint, Jalen or no Jalen, they're going to D you up the whole time.
Yeah. But listen, you're in their place. That's really good. They were awful from three. Yep. Awful. Yep. They didn't have Jalen Williams. They were awful.
There were some
three.
Open threes, too, John. They were missing open threes, too. Open Lou Dort threes. Couldn't make an open three.
I learned that the work that Alpe put in this offseason with his three-pointer has paid off.
Oh, yeah.
He looks good.
Oh, yeah.
He looks
Alpe
good.
Looked great, great from three.
Great. Great. Not only three. Alpe just looked great. I mean, everything. He did
really
everything.
Really big game for him. The Euro stuff. You know, it was a frustrating loss. Frustrating that KD had such a heavy hand in the loss.
Yeah.
But overall, my takeaway was very positive. I mean, there's a lot of really positive. There's a lot of things I saw. I didn't think the Rockets played very well.
No.
And yet they led most of the game at OKC. They did a good job defensively on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander until he kind of took over the game. There's really a lot to talk about with that game, and it's only one game, but I think there's a lot of discussions to have. And I don't like the fact – I mean, I'll just get this out of the way real quick. You know, on Twitter, you can't say anything with that. You guys, after one game, it's okay to say – I made a comment that the Rockets better get ready to see three-quarter court pressure almost immediately from teams. That's not you guys are freaking out. That is a strategic comment based on what their lineup
Rocket,
is.
That's not, hey, you suck, Rockets.
No.
You know what?
I can't stand you pom-pom ass hoes. I can't stand any of y'all. Back off. When grown folks are talking sports, just beat it, okay? Just go play a video game. Go whack it to some anime. Sorry, Dell, I had to say it. I'm a little irritated. Do your stuff with your anime. Go get your AI girlfriends and leave grown folks alone while we're trying to talk about basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. While the adults are having a conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, go in the other room. The grown ups are trying to talk.
Okay.
Talk about basketball.
What about Amen?
You know what? What's going on? What happened with Amen? That ain't no cramp, obviously. You don't just come out for a cramp and never come back in.
Yeah. That's and
my
and
kids listen. Have diagnosed it, by the way, 3 to 6 weeks with a high calf strain. Mason diagnosed it.
He did?
Yep. High calf strain, 3 to 6, which is unusual.
You got to make sure that you're just saying that, and that's not true.
I don't know. He might be right. Onto something.
Has Mason diagnosed it?
He said, well, they were arguing. Well, Sebastian's, no. Well, one of them said 2 to 3 weeks. One of them said 4 to 6.
Well,
I'm sure one of your kids
is a OKC fan.
No.
What? I mean, your kids, they're OKC? Colts fans.
Well, it's because his, no, they're only Colts. Well, Mason tried to be a Laker fan when the Rockets were bad, but now he's back on the Rockets.
A Laker fan because of Luka. He loves Luka.
Nah, Mason is hardcore Rockets.
They
he's got
suck
a,
too.
He's got
by
a
the
job.
Way. Bye, you suck too, Lakers. You yeah. suck too.
Yeah, but no. They're big Rocket fans, but yeah, they've so I don't feel like any of them are headed to law school. If I'm being honest, I mean medical school.
Medical school.
I will say they have diagnosed it, and they, instead of going, one said 2 to 3 weeks, one said 4 to 6, and they just settled it on 3 to 6.
All right.
So kind of a broad window. And it's a high calf strain is what they also figured out. It was a high calf strain.
He worked on his shot this offseason.
Ooh.
But it is clearly
evident
that he needs to just use his athleticism.
He got baited into shooting those
long
shots.
Well, you're going to leave him alone. Guess what's going to happen?
Good. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say shoot it 70 times out there.
There's a reason.
And he's going to hurt the team if he does.
There's a reason the guys are left alone on the three-point line. Okay? It doesn't come by mistake. When NBA teams leave a guy alone at the three-point line, normally, I mean, sometimes they get lost or whatever. They find their way. They find a way to get open. Okay. Normally, if you're open on the three-point line, it's because they want you to be open on the three-point line.
Yeah, or they're not hitting the rotations. But here's the thing. Amen is a really, truly terrible three-point shooter.
Yeah.
He was 8 of 17 yesterday. He was 8 of 10 from 2 and 0 for 7 from 3.
Yeah.
He cannot shoot that many threes. One of the things I liked last year is he was efficient. He understood what he knew what he couldn't do.
But he worked hard this offseason.
I don't care. He's 0
for 7.
I know, but just like
Alpi, do you want normally I wouldn't want Alpi taking 8 three-pointers, but Alpi really I saw a video this offseason of him working on that three-point shot, and boy, did it pay off last night. And I think Amen did the same thing, only it didn't pay off.
I don't think it went in during his workouts. I really don't. You can
no,
shoot
it
100
might
times.
Have.
I don't think so. He shoots super flat. He doesn't have a good shot.
Like, no, he doesn't have a good
Amen
shot.
Amen Thompson cannot shoot more than 4 times from three, and even that's too many.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's DeMar DeRozan. Just don't shoot it.
Well,
when they leave it
open at the three-point line, drive to the basket.
Yeah, just give them – well, you know what? If they're going to leave you open there, then drive in 5 feet and shoot the mid-range.
Yeah.
But to be 8 for 10 from the field – non-3 and then 0 for 7 for 3 tells you all you need to know. He wasn't a good three-point shooter last year. And you know how yesterday Mike Tirico was really harping on how terrible the Oklahoma City Thunder were from three. You know the Rockets only shot 28%. The Rockets were. He never was mentioning the only guy that was making from three was Alpi. Alpi was 5 for 8. The rest of them, Kevin Durant was 0 for 4. Right. Amen Thompson was 0 for 7. Tari Eason was 1 for 4 in one of the worst games I've ever seen Tari Eason play.
Yeah, he was not good.
He was terrible. 4 turnovers in 22 minutes. He was 1 of 6.
I wonder if this contract thing isn't affected.
Maybe, but it's one game. You know, it's a bad
game. It's one game, yeah.
It's a bad I've seen him play really well. Reed Shepard is the one I'm like, ooh, Israel may.
Well,
I may have to give.
Kogi. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Kogi. I don't want him playing that much either.
Man, oh, man. Why wouldn't he have tried Aaron Holiday? I don't get it. Why wouldn't he have tried that? I mean, he put Aaron in last year.
Well, he's going to get in again this year.
He's going to get in this year. Yeah. He's got to get in this year.
He's going
to
get in.
They've got to find a way to get the ball up and start the offense. How many turnovers did they have at the top of the key? How many?
They could.
I mean, it was just ridiculous. Just getting the ball, trying to get the ball, just a simple pass to start the offense.
Oklahoma City was extending pressure. That was smart. They got a great coach. Danielle is a great coach. But they're extending pressure. They're denying the passes to the. They tried to bring up Steven Adams. They said we're gonna ball deny 32 feet from the basket if you try to pass. And Reed Shepard's just picking the ball up. KD's picking the ball up. I don't know about you, John, but I could see it four possessions in. I'm like, oh my god, my worst nightmare. I just didn't know how bad it was going to end up getting. And yet, they had. You know, leads almost the whole night. What I take from it is this team can get buckets when they need to get buckets. They can't. Yeah. And KD's going to help in that regard. KD was terrible at the end of the game.
Do you still believe that the Fred VanVleet? I mean.
No, it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. I don't think it. But see, ultimately, like I said, they did all that and they were winning in Oklahoma City and had a. I don't want to say comfortable. It wasn't comfortable, but they led almost the whole way, and there's no Fred VanVleet, and they turned it over 20 some odd times. Yeah. Like, I think that Fred will not keep them from operating at a high level and winning a lot of games. The problem is when you play an upper level team, that's when you're really going to miss Fred because those teams typically defend pretty well. You're not going to beat Oklahoma City without Fred unless you get a little bit of help. I think it's going to be hard to win in seven games when Jalen Williams is there. I think you're going to have to make a move to get even a backup point guard.
Well, I'm telling you.
Is Aaron Holiday?
Holidays have played big roles on good teams. Holidays can play. And Aaron Holiday played for this team last year. I think he's going to figure out, maybe I got to have, I mean, I don't want Aaron Holiday on the floor, but maybe I got to have Aaron Holiday on the floor.
Well, then it's going to be at Reed Shepard's expense.
Sure.
Whose expense? Yeah. I mean, he's going to. About Reed? If he, for the second year in a row, he starts off getting the minutes and Aaron Holiday has to come in and take over the minutes, that's a really. We still got to start having some tough conversations happens.
It's Israel's dream.
Yeah, I know. It's a dream scenario for our caller, Israel. Not the country.
Not the country.
Yeah.
Our caller.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, he was 0 for 4. He did call a timeout when they didn't have any.
Uh-huh.
He did commit the foul that lost the game,
which
fouled him out of the game.
Uh-huh. He had two before that where he was over the back on nine to help get them in the bonus. He did miss the free throw. Did you leave that?
That free throw was huge.
Which would have probably sealed the game.
Yep. And he also didn't really contribute in the fourth. I mean, in crunch time, he was he wasn't even there. So it's one game. It's one game.
It's one game, but we did see
glimpses of when they had to have a shot.
Yeah, he can.
And
get
Kevin
that.
Durant just came up with. I mean,
but he got bullied by. I mean, he was bullied badly by Lu Dort. Lu Dort had him playing 32 feet from the basket. And I had these people arguing with me. You got it. It's on the Rockets for not getting KD the ball, not calling plays. Calling plays. Do y'all know how this works? KD was what plays are you calling for Kevin Durant 32 feet from the basket? He can't. He's physically not strong enough and not aggressive enough to bully his way down inside the paint to start from there. And he was pushed way outside of the basket in the second half. Lu Dort did a great job. And this is the toughest. This is the toughest defensive battle the Rockets are going to see maybe all year in terms of a matchup. So, I mean, I'm not – like I said, this is as rough as it gets. It's going to get easier than it was last night. And they still had the lead. But Kevin Durant, man, Alonzo texted me, and he was watching the game. Ballard was watching. He goes, you may be right on Reed Shepard. He looks small. I told him in the offseason, I said, Ballard, I'm a little nervous. Reed is small. He feels small.
Oh, he looks like a little kid.
Yeah, and he said, boy,
he's got that little kid haircut.
And he was like, no, he's going to be fine. He texted, you may be right. Reed felt really small, and he didn't handle the ball well. I'm like, he's going to have to be Steve Kerr. I mean, if he wants to be a good player in the league, he's got to be a spot-up shooter.
Well.
And make him.
Yeah. He may be a good player. I'm not sure that it's here because they need a guy who does have – they got to have a guy who's got handles right now. If Fred VanVleet was here, I think it would be fine.
I think you're right. I think Holiday is going to be playing. I mean, they're going to play Reed Shepard, but, well, depending on if my kids were right in diagnosing Amen's injury, then he may even play.
I'm telling you, I do think, and I talked a little bit about Aaron Holiday in the offseason. I do think that there's a chance that he's going to be a big part of this. I do. Because you saw last night when you don't have anybody, I mean, how many times did they throw the ball away?
And then how many times did they
30
get
30 feet from the basket?
Yeah, and then late in the clock, they were having to shoot, especially in the first half, get into, like, they're shooting late in the clock. They had 24-second violations because they get started. Like, they're not getting into their offense early because they're getting hounded up at the top. And if I'm an opposing defense now, I'm saying, listen, when I don't care who's in the game. And they were bringing up Alpe. Like, they had everyone, different people bringing it up. I know that I'm picking up three-quarter court. I'm eating up clock on them by defending them three-quarter court.
Plus, you're down an offensive player with the two bigs.
Yeah, you really are. Steven Adams is a nothing offensive
player. No, he's a non-offensive
player. I don't love this double big lineup for long term. Like, you know, at times, I think it's a mismatch.
Guess what? Get something he's doing.
I don't know if it'll be
long term. You cannot love it all you want. He loved it last year.
But why is it long term? I think I don't know that a lot of the matchups that having Tari Eason starting won't be a better idea.
Yeah,
because Tari's not going to play like that every game.
Well, don't forget.
Because then you have
Finney Smith's on his way too.
Yeah, so I don't really think this is a full time Steven Adams thing that they're going to do.
We'll see. All right. It was.
I mean, they had Chet. Remember, they had Chet and they had Hartenstein in the game at the same time.
They're not facing Chet and Hartenstein every game.
Busted their ass yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He was good. He looked like a young Durant, actually, with the skinny, those stick arms he's got.
And a mullet.
I mean, he was, hey, Chet carried them for the first half.
Yeah,
he did. Carried them.
He did.
To keep them close. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. I want to talk. Yesterday I said, you know, Republic Boot Company, probably 150 people. How about a couple hundred? If you've got some kind of a party and you need a place, how about Republic Boot Company? They've got, I mean, it is so much fun at this place. I mean, they got a bar, which they can't charge you because they don't have a liquor license. So it's all free. You want to shop there, have a glass of wine or have some kind of a shot or beer or whatever. I mean, it's just a fun place to go. It doesn't smell like a bar. You know what it smells like? It smells like a leather factory. It smells like a new car leather, the leather in a new car. It's wonderful. Right. It's my favorite place to walk in when that leather smell hits you. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But there's a lot of stuff that you might want to get done. And now's the time to do it, because if you want to get your people stuff, you want to put your logo on something, you got to do it now, Lance, because if you don't, you don't have time before Christmas to get this done.
Yeah, there's a lot to consider, so make sure that, you know, especially the custom fit boots, if you want, not the handmade from scratch, that takes a lot longer than that, but if you want the 1836 custom fit, you really need to go in now and have them ready for the rodeo, because it's a process and it's amazing, but all the custom made gifts that they can have, and they can customize the hats, you don't have to do that now, the cowboy hats, you can buy it there, you can customize it there, but you're going to find that anything you need from a Western standpoint, from a rodeo standpoint, is all in one shop, and it's a really cool shop, and they do a lot of fun things as well. They have events, corporate events are posting up in there now, drinks, parties, music, live music on Fridays. There's so much to experience. Republic Boot Company, republicbootcompany.com in the Heights. Stop in, even if it's just to check it out. You're going to love browsing there, and you'll definitely love buying at Republic Boot Company.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You asked for it. You got it. Your best friend Israel on the line, Lance. Okay.
Hey, let him talk his talk.
Hey, got it.
I was sitting there watching the game like, man, Israel may have a point right now. I mean, there's a lot of season to go, but I can tell you, he didn't look good yesterday.
It's a first game.
But you know what? You're in there to shoot the ball effectively from three, and one of his threes was banked in.
Yeah. Let's get Israel in here. Israel, what'd you think about that game last night?
Hey, what's up? Hey, Reed, he knocked down the first one from deep. fast.
Yeah.
But you know what? Y'all say we like chicken. We like a chicken dinner. You know what they were doing? They were like, what? Every time he got on them, man, they'd cross them over. And one of them took him to the hole and banged it. He banged it on. He got past me and then Capella jumped up. He banged it on him. Boom.
Yeah.
Man, the Rockets, man. I can't believe they got the Turkish guy, whatever his name, bringing the ball up. Reed is short. At least he can dribble the ball up, man. And late in the fourth quarter, man, Durant was right next to him. He throw the ball way across court. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then he coming in the fourth quarter like he's the guy coming off the bench, dribbling down to the baseline, get trapped. I'm like, what is this dude? They give him the ball up top. He take the ball and try to throw it to Durant. The dude just tipped it to him, took it down to a layup. Man, Reed, man, he's just a flop, bro. He you know what I mean? He might give him some minutes. They got to get them a guard, bro. I'll take Patrick Beverly. But no, we wouldn't take Westbrook. They need somebody who can dribble the ball. The Big Turkish guy cannot be bringing the ball up. KD is not. He's never been a dribbler. Bring up the ball. The guard they got start, he's not. They need a point guard. He ain't got to shoot the ball. And the dude with the headband, whoever is the new guy, he come in, dude shoot a three, he foul him. I'm like, oh, my, at the end of the quarter, I'm like, who is this guy?
Four-point play at the end of the half.
From?
Yeah.
At the end of the half, who is this? I don't even know who this guy
Josh
is.
Josh Kogi.
So, man, Reed. But Reed, man, if they could use him a spot-up shooting this and that, he could not, you know what I mean? He drained that first one. But, man, he's too short not to be able to dribble the ball, bro, and bring the ball up as a point guard. He's not a point guard.
He's not a point guard.
All right, man.
All right. You know, you're right. I mean, hey, listen, he's not a point guard. And I was never convinced he was a point guard at all. I mean, I think he's a spotted. You're going to have to think about the Jordan era. You'll have to think about, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of because even when James Harden was the primary, even when the primary is ball handler and creators is SGA, you don't have these 6'2" guys out there. I mean, he's going to have to be that old model of Steve Kerr where he posts up and he makes threes. If you leave him, he's going to bury you. But, you know, he can do a little bit of dribbling and ball handling, but he cannot be a primary ball handler who gets you into sets. He can't. Not against good defensive teams. Now, you want to back off and play back? That's great. That's Reed Shepard's fine then. But everything Israel said was true for yesterday. And once again, this isn't panicking. We're literally diagnosing and analyzing what happened on the court. I think he's rushing his shots. I know he's a better shooter than he shows. But, John, I mean, it's one game in, but it was already a concern headed in. You missed a primary ball handler. Jalen Green was a primary ball handler. Those are your two primary ball handlers. They're both off the team now. Aaron Holiday is going to get a look without question. But this – and it's okay. I think you can – you know what? I think you actually can – make a trade at the trade deadline, John, and go get – or before the trade deadline, or even bring somebody – I don't know. I don't know about Pat Beverly, but he's too busy with podcasts. But
well, oh, no, not Pat Beverly. So, listen, they're going to beat Oklahoma City this year. This is the first game that they're playing together as a team. This is the first time that they had to integrate one of the NBA's great scorers. This is the first time they've had to play without that. No Fred VanVleet. I mean, you're playing against the champs, who are awesome. I mean, they didn't have Jalen Williams, but they had the other Jalen Williams, which, you know, not the good one. They had this is. I mean, it's one game and you lose in double overtime. There were a lot of flaws. I think they'll get some stuff fixed. It couldn't have been more exaggerated because of who you were playing, right, on that stage. You're expected to be in your first game with your new superstar added. You know, you actually had the lead for most of the game, and you played really. They played pretty damn well, although Oklahoma City was not Oklahoma City either. Neither team was. I mean, they sucked from three. Sucked from three. That was awful. It was awful. You know, they shot 25%, lads, but a lot of those came late. They were shooting in the teens for most of the game. That was they were just awful. So you got a break there. Listen, you lost the first game of the season to the champs, the defending champs. So it is okay. And they'll be better bringing up the ball. Like you said, I mean, you ain't going to see Lou Dort. You ain't seeing this defensive effort night in, night out in the NBA. You just ain't. So they're not going to be as bad as they were last night at the, you know, trying to get the offense started. They'll be better. But I do think that they're, and I thought this when Fred VanVleet went down, it Vegas odds changed immediately.
Yeah.
And there's a reason. You got to have somebody that can start the offense. And yeah. Fred VanVleet was one of the, I mean, Ime loves Fred VanVleet, loves him.
Uh-huh.
And that's a big blow. It's a big
blow.
What
about like a Jayshon Tate? I wonder if anyone will be interested in a bench player, Jayshon Tate, for a bench guard. I mean, Jayshon's a hard player. He plays hard. He hustles. He's in a numbers game that he's not going to get out of over here, not when Finney Smith gets here. And so what about having to get, like, I'm not looking at doing something. I don't think they're going to do anything major. But you just need another player that, you know, yeah, this guy can get it up the court and bring, you know, and get you in. And I want somebody that, you know, if I had my druthers, at least shoot 35% from three.
Would it be shocking if they didn't already pull the plug on Reed?
I'd be pretty shocked if they did.
I don't know.
That quick? Dude, Stone loves him.
Yeah, I know.
But now, Stone is not coaching that team. And remember, last year, Reed lost his minutes pretty quick.
Yep. Hey, Kate, they sent him to the G League.
Yeah. To get some play.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna turn it over, if you're not going to be a guy that can handle your new role of, and we always wondered if he was going to have to. Remember, we were talking about it before they got a deal done with Fred. I guess Reed Shepard's going to be the point guard. If he's not going to be the point guard, he better really shoot the ball well.
I don't know. He think he'll be a point
because he can't defend either. That's the other thing. Reed's got some off the ball stuff. He can go get a steal here and there, but on the ball, guys are just bully him. And Israel talked about it, man. They were just drive, penetrate. He couldn't do anything to stop them.
I saw an awful comp to Reed. For Reed, excuse me. I saw less athletic Jimmer Fredette.
Oh. Oh, God.
Wow.
I didn't like Jimmer, it.
Wow.
Well, you know, Jimmer didn't make it in the NBA.
Why are people so ugly?
I didn't like
it. Well, Jimmer was he a lottery pick or just a first-round pick?
I think he was a lottery pick.
See, I thought
not
he was
as
maybe
high as Reed, but I think he was a lottery pick.
Yeah, Reed does not look like a third pick of the draft. And I don't think we're – and by the way, I don't think we're overreacting.
No, this
we saw him play last year. Like, he has some physical – here's the problem. If he flashed – and don't tell me about, well, we've seen him go to the G League. I saw him last year in the last game of the year score 29 or 35 points against in a game that didn't matter because the season was over. You're trying to find a guy that can help you win a championship or compete for a championship. Reed has physical disadvantages. He doesn't have the handles that you need to be a guy who's on the ball for very long. And the other thing is, defensively, man, it is a big concern about guys just bullying him, just getting inside and finishing on him. You're going to put your bigs in harm's way where they're going to pick up fouls. Yeah. So I don't know. I certainly think he's a better shooter than he's shown right now. I think he's rushing his shots, but I want to give Reed plenty of time. But I'm just telling you, I don't think this one's a hard one. I think if you know basketball at all, you know that Reed doesn't have that thing that your team really needs right now, which is somebody to not turn it over and to handle the ball and get you set up. He doesn't have that.
Well, it's off. We're off and running, and here we go. And the it was a fun game last night, despite, you know, I mean, that was a good game. It was a good basketball game, despite it was sloppy and despite the lack of shooting and the turnovers. It was still that was a fun game. Good way to start. You know what? They'll definitely be better. You don't play the champs every night. So and you held SGA. Holy crap. He was non-existent until the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh.
Non-existent. And then he got into his rhythm a little bit. All right, we got a break. If you've got any comments on this, we got other stuff to talk about as well. 713-780-3776. Right now, we got to talk a little underdog.
Yeah, underdog fantasy. It's good for me. Higher than 1 point. I told y'all I was going to look at higher than 1.5 on three pointers for Jabari Smith. Now he did get it in the second overtime, but hey, I don't care. I don't care. It went higher. Guess what? Lower than 22.5. Points, rebounds, and assists for Isaiah Hartenstein. And then I had the free one with Kevin Durant scoring more than 0 points. So that's a winner. That's what we call a chicken dinner right there. That's a winner. That's how easy it is. You just analyze the game, the games that are going to be on TV, the games you're watching. basketball, for example, and you make an assessment of how it's going to play out. You go higher or lower. It doesn't always have to be higher. I'm giving you guys a little hint. Lower is good, too. Lower is just fine. Because that wins too and actually wins more. So make sure that you break down the games that you're going to be watching, or you may say, hey, I'm just going to go to Underdog Fantasy and I'm going to go put together a pick'em with four different players on this one, and I want to give myself a reason to watch this game. That's great. Underdog Fantasy is great for that as well. Don't forget, you can play it straight and get the bigger payouts, or you can go with your flex option, which means that you can lose one and still get paid. And if you lose one, your payout's not as high, but you're still making money. And it's completely legal here in the state of Texas, and it's really easy to play. All you have to do is download the app, Underdog Fantasy. Use my promo code Lance. What that's going to do is it's going to unlock $100 in bonus funds and bonus entries when you make your first $5 play. That's what you have to do. It's Underdog Fantasy. Remember to use promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. What do you guys think? You know, it doesn't have to just be about the Rockets. It could be about anything. If you haven't gotten your thoughts in on the Seattle game yet, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
713-780-3776.
D'Amico's taking a lot of the heat yesterday. D'Amico said, put it on me.
So Caserio, we got to play a quote. I don't know why it hit my timeline. Like, everybody has got this quote from the draft by Nick Caserio, and they're all up in arms, but we'll do that. We got Chuck that's waiting to get in here, though. Let's get him in here. Hey, Chuck.
What's going on, guys? Hey, y'all don't need to worry. This is just Houston sports. There's nothing wrong with the Astros training staff. There's nothing wrong with the offensive line. Man, we just don't need to worry about it. Hey, we will find somebody to bring the ball up court. It's just a matter of time, guys. Just trust the system. Y'all have a good day.
Hey, if we're not concerned, why are you? You shouldn't be concerned.
You shouldn't be concerned.
That's right. Okay? We're not concerned. Why are you concerned? So stop already.
Yeah.
Stop being concerned about bringing the ball up.
They're not concerned. I'm not concerned.
Yeah. Nobody's concerned.
If the Rockets aren't concerned, we shouldn't be. If Jim Crane's not concerned about having starting pitching, then we shouldn't be concerned about it.
No. 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 I mean, we got to stop this concern that we got going on right now. Uh-huh. Stop with the concern. 713-780-377. So mention this. I don't know why, but people are just my whole timeline, like every third story, was this quote from Nick Caserio. This is from the first draft day. And let me ask you what you think. And I think we played it after we played it. But this is full-on Nick Caserio being condescending Nick Caserio, talking about drafting for need and drafting best player available.
I mean, I've said that we need good football players. It doesn't matter the position that they play. So get them in the building and sort it out. Like, we need good football players. That's what we need. Like, the whole perception of, well, you need this position, you need that position. I mean, that's made up. Like, we don't approach it that way. So it doesn't really matter. And I'd say today was another good example of follow the grades. I'd say we kept coming back to, well, here were our grades on this player. Okay, well, all right. Well, if he's the best player and he has the other qualities that we covet, then we pick the player. And the competition is going to sort itself out. We're not going to control the competition. The players are. So, like, can we draft another receiver? I don't know. Sure. If he's the best player and he's graded accordingly. So it doesn't matter where they come from. So D'Amico said it. I've said it. Like, this whole concept of drafting for need, honest to God, I don't even know what it means. I mean, what does it mean? If someone could tell me that, I'd love to hear it. But we don't look at it that way. We need to keep drafting good people, good football players that are going to enhance the overall culture of our building, and we're not going to stray from that.
What are we doing? I get what he's saying. What he's saying is, you draft good football players. That's how you avoid, you know, if you draft for need, you end up passing on great football players sometimes, and you end up, you know, it's the Michael Jordan. Okay, so it's drafting Rodney McCray over Clyde Drexler for the Houston Rockets. It's that idea that you don't pass on a great player because you have a need. But
why,
that whole thing, what does that even mean? I don't even know. I mean, come on, Nick. You don't have to do this. Don't be like that.
That's a
don't
New England like thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill O'Brien said that. I don't even know what that means.
Can somebody explain this to me, what drafted for need? Well, you need this position, so you better fix this position.
Okay, if he's not drafted for need, his first pick last year was a wide receiver, which they needed desperately. His second pick was an offensive tackle, which they needed desperately. His third pick was a wide receiver, which they needed desperately. So what a load of crap. But I don't know, everybody's pissed off he doesn't draft for need, and look at what they need. He did draft what they needed.
Yeah, he's just being glib.
Well, but he's being an a-hole. I mean, for whatever reason, Nick Caserio has to tell you why he's smarter than you. It seems like every time there's a microphone in front of him, for whatever reason,
He's got to tell you don't know what you're talking like.
Yeah.
He's got to make fun of
what... We know. You don't know. Hey, we're not concerned, so you shouldn't be concerned.
Enough. Stop with the offensive line talk, guys. It's just getting old. Okay.
We're not concerned about it, so we're not concerned about it. You guys certainly shouldn't be concerned about it either.
Yeah. I mean, just stop being concerned about it.
I mean, you can. I get what he's saying, and I agree with him. You go draft good football players. You get good football players in the building. But positions of priority you do have to address. I mean, you have to address it. They did draft a tackle. They needed a left tackle. They drafted a left tackle.
But why
give the answer like that? Why saying this? You know, you can give an answer without trying to be an a-hole. This is what bothers me. I don't like this when GMs and coaches cannot just answer a question. They have to make sure that they show how much disdain they have for your question or the line of thinking with fans. I get it. Well, everyone's going to get frustrated with fans, and fans will be off on some things, or at least, you know, the buzz and the noise was going to be off. But you don't have to say things like, what does that even mean? What is draft? What does need even mean? You know what it means, Nick. What are we doing? Why do we have to do this? Stupid.
So somebody put out, and I believe that they're a little bit. I believe they're off. They're off on this thing. They said, look at Caserio's drafts, and look at the first three rounds, and look at the rest. And there's nothing after the third round. Well, Cade Stover was a fourth rounder. Henry Toa, Jared Patterson, fifth and sixth. Xavier Hutchinson, a sixth. And now he's had a few misses in the early, but he got Stingley early. He got CJ. He got Will Anderson. He got Kamari Lassiter. He missed. I guess Blake Fisher's a miss now. Kalen Bullock is a hit. We'll find out whether or not the receivers, i.e. Iowa State crew, is a their hits right now. Xavier Hutchinson, the sixth rounder, is better. But it's early. Quite frankly, it's not great. Austin Deculus, how about that? The Chargers they had to play Austin Deculus and he got hurt. They miss Austin Deculus, a guy the Texans cut with one of the worst offensive lines allegedly in the NFL. They cut Austin Deculus and the Chargers had to play him.
Ooh,
and
he was getting and his they ass miss him. Kicked.
Yeah.
No, I don't miss Austin Deculus.
No. The Chargers miss him.
The Chargers miss Austin Deculus?
Well, why? Because he was their fourth guy, and now they're on their fifth guy.
No, they're better off. Whoever their fifth guy is, they're better off.
That they don't believe that.
Well,
they were like,
you don't know.
Yeah.
Because I watched that game, and it was not great.
No.
For Austin Deculus.
No,
it's not great when he's healthy. He got a little bit banged up in the game, and I was just like, this is really going to be bad for you, Chargers. I don't even know how Herbert got to 400 yards passing. I mean, I know they were passing every play. I don't know how he didn't get his wig split wide open. That's why the Texans, do we have D'Amico saying C.J. Stroud's hanging on to the ball too long? He better be careful about saying it. We'll break it. We'll hear it on the other side. But you better be careful about saying that.
Better
stuff. David Mulgeta,
watch yourself.
If David Mulgeta hears what you say, he'll be out of here within a month.
Yeah, D'Amico.
So watch it, D'Amico.
You better watch yourself.
Watch it, what you're saying.
We got a break because we got Mike Elko coming on at 10 after. They got LSU this week.
I hope he is careful about an LSU fan because you know what they do.
Well, I know.
I do not need the Aggies going, playing. That's a road game, right?
It's at LSU.
LSU fan came stuck his spike in my booty.
I do not want Elko or any Aggies having to say that.
No, I don't. We don't need that. Break in here. Talk a little taquerias.
Yeah, taquerias Hernandez. I wish I had those breakfast tacos right now. Man, Saul, if you're listening, hook your boys up. We were up late last night watching. Well, it wasn't late. It was double overtime. It was double overtime, but. And I love their potatoes and the refried beans in the morning. You get the tortillas, you get the eggs, the migas, there's a lot of different things they have on their menu for breakfast. I focus on lunch and dinner a lot, but honestly, I'm out of here at 10 o'clock. A lot of places don't have food until, a lot of places are just lunch places, right? At 11 o'clock, not Taqueria Sarandas. They're open early so that you can go enjoy lunch to start your day, to feed your day, to get your fuel going. And whether it's breakfast tacos or whether it's a heartier breakfast, they got you covered. Now, they got lunch. They've got dinner. They've got televisions for you to watch your favorite sports events. They've got great happy hour specials so you get your drinks when you're ready to get your drinks. But I'm telling you right now, that breakfast is a great way to start your morning. And there's about 26 locations around Houston. So you can find something near you where you can stop in the morning and enjoy it 7 days a week. It's Taqueria Sarandas. Find your location. Get it going. Don't forget they also do catering as well, so they can cater your events, including your big lunches that you may have for clients. It's Taqueria Sarandas.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Do we have that D'Amico quote, that the one that's going to get him fired? Oh, we don't have that? Okay. We don't have D'Amico saying that CJ. We don't have D'Amico getting himself fired. That's what we don't have right now. There's some other stuff going on around the league, though. The Sean Payton, Russell Wilson thing is pretty good. Heating up. All right? It heated up yesterday. For those of you that missed it, I don't know if we played it yesterday or Monday. Sean Payton, I think we did play it. Sean Payton had this to say about Russell Wilson, he was talking to John Mara, the owner of the New York Giants, and here is what he had to say about playing against Jackson Dart.
I have a ton of respect for that organization. I spent four of my early years there, close with the Mara Tisch family. They found a little spark with that quarterback. I was talking to John Mara not too long ago, and I said we were hoping that change would have happened long after our game.
What Russell Wilson and everyone else took is that he'd rather face Russell Wilson than Jackson Dart. Exactly. Well, that's his opinion. But everyone thinks he was shading Russell Wilson.
Well, they've got a history, though.
They do have a history. Clearly, they have a history.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
I'd rather face Russell, too.
Yeah, obviously. But Russell didn't see it that way. Okay. Russell said, he tweeted yesterday, classless, but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15-plus years later through the media. Hashtag Saints. Let's ride.
Saints drop.
Yeah. Shades, laughing emoji, crying laughing emoji. Yeah. All of those Russell Wilson had. He had a lot of crying, laughing emojis.
Yeah.
He cracked himself up.
I saw somebody go, for this cornball to break character like that shows you how mad he really is about this. Dang. Why Russ is it- just really pisses. He really rubs people the wrong way across the board. Defensive players, offensive players, coaches. Like, I don't know what it is. I know for some people it's he doesn't act the right way that they want him to act, that they think he should act, which I don't have any respect for that. Russell can be whoever he wants. He's a cornball. He's not cool enough. He's that. I don't care about that. That's not even your business. But for him to, like, rub teammates and coaches the wrong way, something's going on there. Yeah. I mean, Sean Payton was done with him. Sean Payton literally ate a ton of money to cut him, and they didn't even have a second-round pick because they had given it up. And then I thought maybe overdrafted Bo Nix, but I guess they drafted him right where they needed to draft him. Although my son told me that Broncos Twitter's not big Bo Nix fans. I'm not sure why. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. Man,
he's a gamer, and especially late. That dude plays late in games. He ain't scared of moments, and he's...
I imagine watching Bo Nix over the course of four quarters can be bothersome.
Yeah.
I imagine. Like, what you're pointing out, they came back, remarkable comeback. But there are moments where, don't dirt that ball. I imagine there are some throws he doesn't make that bothers them, but, hey, could be worse. You could still have Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and, yeah, maybe it's frustrating, but guess what? Down the stretch, man, I want to have Bo Nix on my team. Dude plays in the fourth quarter. Not so much in the first three sometimes, but in the fourth quarter, he ain't out of it. And he can run. He can throw. I mean, I like Bo Nix. I think it's hard to rate. It's hard to rate their young quarterbacks right now.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. It is.
But this last class looks like, not last year's, but the one before, looks like it's turning into a pretty good class.
A really
memorable class, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, between Drake May.
I think I'm going to end up being right that Penix is the fifth out of that group. I don't think he's going to be in the same class as these other guys.
Yeah. No. And holy crap. Well, we've got San Francisco this week. And speaking of which, somebody put out the pay.
Quarterbacks.
A quarterback pay?
Yeah. It was Sleeper NFL or one of those dumb sites.
Yeah.
The numbers are
ridiculous. Trevor Lawrence, 55. Tua, 53. Kyler, 46. Deshaun, 46. Kirk Cousins, 45. Geno Smith, 37. I mean, and when you look at what Sam Darnold, 33. Baker, 33. Daniel Jones, 14. Aaron Rodgers, 13. Talk about bargains. And look at the teams. Look at all of the teams when you don't pay your quarterback all that money and just handcuff yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you got to find a good quarterback too. But what we do know for a fact is that paying average quarterbacks, when you don't really want to have to do it, but you do it, it usually ends poorly for you. Look at Kyler Murray. Look at Trevor. Look at Tua. Look at all those names up at the top of that list. It's bad. Now, were those all the right names? Like, is Josh Allen? Did they eliminate names that didn't fit the narrative?
Of course. The ones that got paid a lot and are good, they didn't put on the list.
Yeah, no, I noticed they didn't put Josh. They didn't put Dak Prescott.
They didn't put Patrick Lamar, Mahomes.
Mahomes, yeah. He did a different deal recently, right? I think he did something to get back.
I think he's still in the 40s.
I just know that, and the reason we're talking about this is, man, we may be in for that same conversation in the future.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's ugly.
I've been saying that. CJ Stroud, his agent's going to want him to be the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you think he should be or not. David Mulgeta's trying to get his. David Mulgeta's job is to get as much as he can, and that's what he's going to attempt to do. And if the Texans want to keep him, they better get on board. Just do what he says.
Just do what he says.
Just give him a check and just say, fill it out however you want. It doesn't matter.
A blank check is what we're talking.
Yeah, like he did with Deshaun.
How did that work out? Maybe learn from your mistakes. And when Deshaun had done more.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do if CJ's not that guy?
Well, don't they have this year and next for that to be proven?
Yeah, let's break it. Oh, no, no, Elko. Well, we'll break it anyway.
Break it.
Elko is coming up at 8:10, and then we have someone, a quick interview in studio for a new sponsor. But so we'll be a little bit busy here. But really looking forward to talking to Elko about what the Aggies are doing, what they look like. I mean, even when the defense doesn't show up, they can just hit you with a 40 spot. And, oh, well, we'll just outscore you if we need to.
I'm telling you, Colin Klein doesn't not get enough. I mean, the Aggies' offense is fantastic. He just does not get enough credit. Let's talk, you know who else isn't? The Zaddicks.
Yeah, Zaddick Jewelers. I want to say something. I don't know if they get enough credit for what they do for so many people out there. Zaddick Jewelers is giving you an opportunity to get exactly what you are looking for your loved one or for yourself. When I say yourself, if you're a guy listening right now, you might be talking about a wedding band. You might be talking about luxury watches. Maybe there's a necklace that you want. You know, a guy's necklace. You got something that you want very specifically. Maybe a religious symbol, whatever the case may be, Zaddick can do it for you. They've got all the bridal locked down, all the loose diamonds are in place, and they're high quality, cut clarity, the shape. I mean, it's the cut. It's a place where they have so many people working. There's 28,000 square feet, so they got a lot of workers, but everyone is so well versed on their specialty. And you're going to find somebody who can help you find exactly what you're looking for. And that includes some of the finest makers of jewelry and watches. Cartier, Breitling, these are the watches. Tudor, Rolex, Luminox, Mont Blanc, Omega. There's so much to choose from. They buy, they sell, and they trade luxury watches. So if that's something that you want for yourself or maybe for her, they can do that for you as well. And, of course, diamond earrings, pendants, necklaces, jewelry of any and all kinds. They can even custom make it right there at the location, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard at Zaddick.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.